Y'all. So today, we're talking about prophets. And I have an intro written. This is not it. I feel like I didn't know until this morning how important prophecy is. So look, we're all still learning. Why are we talking about prophecy? We sang this morning about people being set free, about chains being broken, about bonds being broken, and how that is done is through the gift of prophecy. You have inside you the ability to set others free with your mouth. That is the gift of prophecy. And we'll go deeper into this, but I just had to say, this is so important. I did not know until right now how important this is. But that's why we're talking about prophecy. So, welcome to the second and final installment of the Encanto series. Right? Today is going to be maybe the edgiest sermon you have ever heard. Are you ready? And if you were here for Galatians 5, you're like, how can it be edgier than Galatians 5? This is edgy because even though we are told to obey, and we are explicitly told not to talk about Bruno, today we're going to talk about Bruno. So get ready. Get your disobedient pants on. Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay. Much like Mirabelle says, sometimes weirdos just get a bad rap. Anybody in here the family weirdo? We're like, my family is all weirdos, so we're all the family weirdo in our own distinct way. Prophets like Bruno can come off like a family weirdo, right? Think about some of the shenanigans that the Old Testament prophets get into. I don't know if you have read 1 Kings, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah. But here are some examples. Ezekiel was told to cook his food over human poop. Isaiah walked around naked for 3 years. No laundry, but other issues. Aaron, when his sons died, was specifically told not to mourn them, even though there were very strict rules about how you're supposed to mourn your family. Jeremiah, this dude, he goes out to Target, he buys a belt, he wears the belt, he buries the belt, he unburies the belt, and then he's like, this is useless. And everyone's like, why did you bury the belt? These fellas sound like weirdos, right? And maybe next to them, Bruno seems pretty tame. Like, not bad. All Bruno does is play with rats, right? So these may seem like pretty out there things to do, but there is purpose behind these acts. Prophets are known for performing something called a sign act. It's a non-verbal action or object employed by a prophet to communicate a message to the audience. It helps you understand and remember what the prophet is trying to teach you. So we use these symbols and examples in non-prophetic ways, right? One of them is a wedding ring. This thing is just a symbol. If I take it off, I'm not unmarried, although I make that joke all the time. I'm still married whether I have it on or not. It doesn't keep me behaving in a married way. But when I look at it, I remember I made a covenant to the greatest man in the world, right? I am married. I have promises to keep. In Jeremiah's belt sign act, right? He takes this belt out. It's ruined, right? And he says, hey, Israelites, when you go to worship other gods and you turn your heart from God, you're like this belt. You're useless. The sign act helps the audience understand and remember what God wants to communicate. So maybe prophets are not as weird as they seem at first glance. Although, the cooking over poop thing is still a little hard to swallow. Ba-doom! You got it! That's daily! On a roll. So I say all this because I'd like to demystify the office of prophet today. Prophet can seem, what do we call it here? Weird. But what do we do with the weird? This is why I get so many hugs. Okay? We embrace the weird. And prophets are one of those things that we have to work at a little harder to embrace because they can be hard to understand. But this is exactly what happens in Encanto. Bruno's gift is confusing and scary and intimidating to his family. And so they reject not just his gift, not just his message, but Bruno himself. This is part and parcel of being a prophet. If you speak prophetic words, you will experience rejection. You will. There's not a person in this room who has not rejected truth at some time. It physically makes me go, when someone tells me something I don't want to hear that I know is true. And I'm like, I thought I swept that pretty good under the rug. We want to fight it. So we reject who's talking to us, right? That is something that prophets experience. And we need to understand this because per Ephesians 4, right, where it talks about the five ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, all of us move naturally in one of those, but we will all, like Jesus, function in all of them. So you will, at some point, speak prophetically. What does that mean? I will tell you. Thanks for asking. Okay, so we're all going to operate in the gift of prophecy. And if you're a prophet in here thinking, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. You're going to know what I know. Listen, you also sometimes need to hand out a hug like a shepherd instead of correction, right? We're all in this together. So maybe you're thinking, I can't operate in prophecy. I wear clothes. And I cook on a stove. I don't want to use excrement. Don't worry, that was just them. We're not asked to do that. Check that one, okay? So sign acts are not the only way that prophets communicate. We talked about this in an earlier series, but in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul writes, "The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort." Prophets are truth speakers and memory keepers. They speak truth and they remind us of who we are, who we can be, who we were created to be. Sometimes the truth we need to strengthen us is not a comfortable truth. It's not a truth we want. Sometimes it might even be a truth that makes us angry. But a prophet's role is to speak that truth in love regardless. Of course, it's also the prophet's role to speak the truth in love. Remember that we learned in our Holy Spirit Part 2 series that when the Holy Spirit moves and speaks, he is always motivated, not just by love, as we show it to each other here, not just human love, but the type of love that's described in 1 Corinthians 13. It is kind, selfless, humble, and this is important. It does not rejoice in the giving of hard truth. It rejoices in the hope of the change that hard truth produces. So to understand prophets and prophecy better, and really we're going to be talking about the importance of speaking the truth in love, receiving the truth kindly, and the importance of perseverance within the gift of prophecy. So we're going to talk about three different prophets. We're going to talk about Bruno, a very handsome cartoon, can I say? Bruno is a prophet who left when his gift became too much to bear. We're also going to talk about Mirabel, not specifically called a prophet, but she does prophesy. She is a prophet who chose to stay in the face of rejection and accusation. And then we're going to talk about Elijah, okay? Mirabel, Elijah, and Bruno, right? It's not in Encanto, but it's still a Lin-Manuel Miranda, okay? So Elijah's story is in 1 Kings. We're going to stay in verses 17 through 19. And you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to relay the story to you. Why? Because it is hilarious. You will love this story, okay? So let's start with Elijah. So to set the story, we've got three main characters, okay? We have Elijah, who is a prophet, and he has been in hiding. We have Ahab, king of Israel, okay? And he's a bad king. And not bad in a good way. Like, he's bad in a bad, like the worst way. And then you've got Jezebel, Ahab's wife. Jezebel is a non-Israelite who, the Bible says, enticed Ahab to a lot of sin, okay? She's a 10, but she entices you to sin more than all the kings of Israel before you, okay? You know I gotta fit TikTok in there. So one of the sins she has enticed him in is they're killing all the prophets, hence why our main character, Elijah, is in hiding. So God tells Elijah, I want you to go confront Ahab. Elijah confronts him. This is so important. Listen, I had to pare this sermon down so much because Onia said you cannot keep them in their seats for 8 hours. So hard. But this part's very important, okay? I can't go into it. But Elijah walks up to Ahab, and Ahab says, you troubler of Israel. And Elijah goes, uh-uh, you're the troubler of Israel. That is how a prophet stands up to someone who doesn't want to hear the truth, okay? But we got to skip that. So Elijah challenges Ahab to a god-off. He says, listen, you've been worshiping Baal, a not nice god. Okay, we're going to set up two altars. You ask Baal to call down fire on yours, and I will ask Yahweh to call down fire on mine. So this side, Ahab's side, there are 850 prophets over here calling Baal down. There's also a bull on the altar, the bull having a bad day, okay? They're calling him down per their tradition. They are cutting themselves. They're asking Baal. They're begging him to send fire down. It's gory. It's violent. It's blah, okay? It doesn't work. Elijah comes over. Elijah. And he goes to his another bull having another bad day. And he has some people come around and says, soak the altar in fire. Then dig a trench and fill that up with fire. They do that not once, not twice, three times. This thing is soaked. And when Elijah prays, he says, answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know you, O Lord, our God, and that you have turned their hearts back. He is making a plea for the people of Israel. That is a prophet. He's not only reminding the people of God's love for them, but asking God to show them a sign that he is real and wants them back. Sorry. Prophets are truth tellers and memory keepers. Giving and receiving this kind of truth can be difficult. It's difficult to confront someone and tell them that they're worshiping an idol. It's difficult to be told you're worshiping an idol. But like we discussed in the Holy Spirit series, when the Holy Spirit prompts a prophetic message to be given, the message is motivated by love. The message is not meant to harm you, but to bring you to repentance through God's kindness. That is what Elijah is doing here. So not only does Elijah win the God off, because God does bring down fire, the sacrifice is completed, but the people then immediately begin to worship God. They fall on their faces and they proclaim, "The Lord, He is God." Not only that, but God then uses Elijah to end this super long drought that's been going on. This is a banner day, okay? A-plus day for a prophet. So then what happens? Ahab and Jezebel are like, "Wow, we've been totally wrong to keep killing you guys. We're so sorry. Our bad." That is not what happens. Jezebel texts Elijah and says, "You got 24 hours to live, buddy. I am coming after you." And Elijah, who had just won the hearts of his people back to God, who had defeated 900 prophets of Baal, who had stood up to the king himself, runs away. He runs away and he hides under a tree. Let's pause there. Let's leave Elijah under this tree for a moment and do what we're not supposed to do, which is we're going to talk about Bruno. It's impossible not to sing. Okay, so like Elijah, Bruno is a prophet. He is gifted with prophecies to deliver, but unfortunately, they are never understood. Bruno's family rejects his prophecies, and eventually Bruno himself. But it's because they don't understand the prophecies. It has nothing to do with Bruno, an important thing to understand as a prophet. Dolores calls his gift humbling. In the song, "We Don't Talk About Bruno," she says, "It's a heavy lift with a gift so humbling. Always left Abuela and the family fumbling, grappling with prophecies they couldn't understand." It's their lack of understanding that is their issue, not Bruno. In defense of ourselves, we often want to point the blame at the deliverer of the truth. Within the course of "We Don't Talk About Bruno," Bruno is blamed for the following: a man going bald, the death of a woman's fish, I've been there, rain on Tia Peppa's wedding day, a man growing a gut. The list goes on and on. Bruno himself is not the impetus for any of that. To avoid accepting truth that we don't want to hear, we often blame the truth teller. But truth tellers like Bruno are giving warnings of what could happen if you stay on that path. Tough truth isn't a condemnation in itself. It is an opportunity to change directions and realign yourself with God. Bruno is not in charge of the man who grows a gut. He is not his nutritionist. He is not his dietitian. Bruno is giving him a prophetic gift of upbuilding, of strengthening. Hey, you keep eating these Rice Krispie treats, whatever you're eating, arepas, you are going to grow a gut. And instead of changing his habits, that man continues on his current path and does indeed grow a gut. Shocker. Instead of heeding the prophetic word, he just blames his problem on Bruno. Have you ever been there? Where someone tells you, "I have been on the path you're going down. If you keep on that path, you're going to end up here." And then you end up there and you're like, "You didn't help me." Yes, They tried. But it's up to us to heed that truth. Bruno has a similar interaction with Tia Peppa on her wedding day. So this song even begins with Peppa complaining that Bruno says it looks like rain. In doing so, he floods my brain, married in a hurricane. Peppa's gift is that her moods affect the weather. But instead of using this gift to address her emotions, her agitated state, she is encouraged and pressured to hide those emotions so that everyone else doesn't have to deal with her emotions. Bruno explains at the end of the movie, he was trying to ask Peppa how she was doing. It looks like rain. That is a gift of prophetic encouragement he's trying to give her. But she takes it as poking, blame. There's a word. Look it up. and then text me. So, accusation. His prophetic message of consolation is rejected. Bruno understands a part of his gift. He knows this is supposed to serve his family in some way, and he loves his family no matter what. But he takes their rejection and dismissal personally. Believing he's hurting his family, he runs away. To save them, he says. But he misses the most important function of prophecy, which is to strengthen, encourage, and console. It is his role to speak the truth, but the reception of the message is up to the hearer. Rather than continue in truth speaking, Bruno hides away in secret tunnel, in the walls of the house. He still loves his family. It is heartbreaking how much he loves his family. And he tries to repair the cracks in the walls. But that's not the function of his gift. And so it doesn't work. His help doesn't help. Bruno's gift was meant to fix the foundation of the house, the foundation of the family. And foundations cannot be fixed with spackle and Band-Aids. They must be rebuilt. So Bruno at this point is like Elijah, running away after receiving rejection and or death threats. So then let's look at the prophet that stayed. Mirabel. Girl power. So Mirabel starts out in Encanto as the only madrigal without a gift. But she doesn't let this affect her role in the family. She loves her family and demonstrates this love despite their rejection. She tries to help decorate for Antonio's gift ceremony, even though Abuela is like, why don't you just let everybody else handle this? She holds Antonio's hand on his journey to find out what his gift is, even though everyone is looking at her going, afraid her non-giftedness is going to affect Antonio. And even when the entire family poses for a photo without her, she remains kind, forgiving, and gracious. In the song, Waiting on a Miracle, Mirabel sings to the house, bless me now as you blessed us all those years ago. And the house answers her. She receives the blessing of a vision of the house crumbling, and of the gifts of the madrigals disappearing. During this vision, Mirabel's hand is cut on a piece of crumbled roof. When she tries to share this prophetic vision, which is a warning to her family, she is rejected even further. So she receives her blessing, but in the process, she is literally and figuratively wounded. Prophecy, being a truth teller, being a memory keeper is not for the faint of heart. It is one thing to declare yourself a prophet. It is another to bear the wounds of one. Paul himself said in Galatians 6, I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Prophets are frontline folks, and their heart wounds will testify to that. Despite the rejection, though, Mirabel stays the course. She delivers truth to Louisa, to Bruno, to Isabella, and all three of them are freed from an unhealthy view of their gift. Eventually, through her empathy and love and steadfastness, Mirabel gets through to Abuela. And Abuela herself receives healing. The family then works together to rebuild their house and family even stronger than before. Because she stayed, she persevered, she refused to stop telling the truth. So, we've got Bruno, the prophet who left, and Mirabel, the prophet who stayed. So let's check back in with Elijah under the old broom tree and see which type of prophet he turns out to be. So Elijah decides he has had enough. He literally says, I have had enough of this. And he prays for death, literally. I have had enough of this. Kill me now. He then takes a nap. And when he wakes up, he finds that instead of death, he finds cake and water. He then takes another nap. This sounds like a great day. And when he wakes up, another meal. Here is an important lesson. This is not the first time Elijah was fed supernaturally. In a previous chapter, he was fed several times by food brought by ravens. He needed reminded of God's faithfulness. Sometimes the memory keepers need to be reminded. Sometimes prophets need to be prophesied to. Sometimes teachers need to be taught. Sometimes shepherds need to be shepherded. This is why it's important that we all pursue and practice and operate in our gifts. Because there's not just one shepherd who does all the shepherding. There's not just one prophet who does all the prophesying. We can all operate in those gifts. It's how we take care of each other. So Elijah then goes into a cave and quiets himself down. Okay? God's voice comes to him in a whisper and asks, what are you doing here, Elijah? And after stating his needs, Elijah tells him exactly what's up. I am alone. I am discouraged. Help me out. And after stating his needs, God answers Elijah. He provides him with a rescue plan. A new king to anoint because Ahab needs to be fired. And a prophet to anoint so Elijah won't be on his own. When you're feeling the rejection of others, it's important to quiet down and let God remind you of who you are. We're going to try that really quick right now. Okay? We're going to take a couple breaths, if you guys can breathe with me. Can we take a deep breath in and out through your mouth? Go in through your nose, out through your mouth. One more. And out. You are God's kid. You are loved. You are important to him. He sees and knows you. If you quiet down your own negative self-talk, you will be able to hear him tell you what you need to hear, but it takes stillness and listening. Elijah, like Mirabel, stays. He follows God's rescue plan. And in doing so, he sees many, many miracles and victories for God, including seeing Ahab repent. But he was able to stay because he chose to deal with his identity, calling, and rejection with God rather than the rejection of those around him. So those are our prophets, our three prophets of the day. And I want to end here by giving just some general lessons that we can learn from Mirabel, Bruno, and Elijah. Number one, when you choose to stop operating in a broken machine, it will look like you're the one breaking it to the other people in the machine. When confronted by Elijah, Ahab calls him a troubler of Israel. When Mirabel confronts Abuela, it is Mirabel who is blamed for destroying the magic. Stay the course. Know what you've been called to do and speak the truth regardless. Mirabel's refusal to ignore what was wrong was what ultimately saved the family. Number two, the Madrigal's house had to be completely destroyed so that the foundation could be rebuilt. What are you willing to rearrange and rebuild in order to align yourself with truth? Remember, receiving hard truth is hard. That's why they call it hard truth. But it's necessary for change and pays off in the long run. Number three, truth speaking can be costly. In the Bible, there are a few examples of people saying, "What must I do to be saved?" And a lot more examples of, "How dare you say that? Now we're going to throw you off a cliff." Stay the course. Affirmation is not always confirmation of truth. Sometimes it's rejection, but the truth still stands. And lastly, it can seem, this was an Onea special, it can seem like delivering truth can be unloving, but it is actually the withholding of truth that is the unloving choice. Bruno chose to withhold truth to not hurt the family, but Mirabel's commitment to the truth is what ultimately saved the family. So I encourage you guys this week, in closing, know that you hold the keys inside you to speak a truth to someone else that will set them free. And regardless of the reaction you get, stay the course in speaking the truth. Thank you.